Hello everyone, and welcome to Toonami Therapy on May 14th of 2021. I'm Michael.
I'm Tommy.
And we are here, as always, to discuss some of the anime we've been watching, a substantial portion of which actually airs on Toonami. Mm-hmm. So, alright. So, this is a week where they started up the new season of My Hero Academia. For real. Well, last time towards the end of the last season, we made some jokes about how the new season had started, which which make more sense if you listen to those earlier episodes. But this is the real actual beginning of the new season, My Hero Academia, episode 89. Except it is not really the beginning of the new season, because I'm pretty sure this entire episode was filler to reacquaint us with the characters.
Yeah, we always, I noticed, like, My Hero Academia is, like, always telling us, oh, this is so-and-so's quirk. And it's like, by now, I'm pretty familiar with what people's quirks are. Either that, or I don't care, because they're never important, you know?
Well, everyone knows Hagakure's quirk, even though I don't think anyone cares about her as a character. She's the invisible girl.
Yeah.
Like, she's invisible. That's her quirk. Doesn't really have any other identifiable characteristic whatsoever.
Yeah.
Honestly, I'll repeat what I said, what I think I said before. Invisibility, permanent invisibility, must be terrible. Like if you get, like, a scratch or something, how are you going to know where it is? How is anyone ever going to be able to operate on you? Or forget operation, just do a regular checkup of any kind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this episode really didn't introduce all that much, except kind of like reset everyone, like, okay, here's the characters again in case you forgot.
Fire Force did something like that at the start of the second season, where it was like, hey, here's all the characters again, but it only spent the first half of the episode on that. Then it was like, okay, let's move on to the plot. Well, actually, the plot it did was basically what I assume was a comedic one-off chapter in the manga, but it at least was still something from the manga. That was the episode where they had like, you know, where they were doing the poses for the calendars and stuff. Mm-hmm. Apparently there. So yeah, I there's not that much else to say about here other than they were going up against Amajiki and Nejire of the big three, even though only one of them ever really actually mattered plot wise, and then he lost his powers.
Yeah,
especially like Nejire is especially pointless. She like never does anything. I had to look up who she even was because I forgot. Yeah. Okay. So, but anyway, that is unfortunately all I can really say about an episode that was just reintroducing stuff. We got a little bit of plot towards the end, but only at the very end.
Right.
So, yeah, I think that was basically it, unless there's something I'm forgetting. Okay, move on to Food Wars episode 48.
Yeah, so, am I doing this one?
I thought you were. Do you want me to try to do it? Okay, this one is hard to remember because I've been because I recently actually reread this part of the manga, and I am trying to remember, okay, where did this episode end? because I think I was just slightly past this when I was reading part of it, and I'm thinking, did we end with the, was this the, that's what I'm so confused about. Okay, so Soma and Tsukasa have they started the food war thing yet? I'm sorry, my brain is scrambled. I literally just read this part of the manga because I was listening to this other podcast and older episodes where they were going over that, and I was reading sort of along with that, and I was at this part, and now I can't remember which part was in the manga, which part was in the anime.
Well, basically, you had Alice telling off her uncle. That was half the episode, and interaction between Erina and Alice. And in fact, that was the point in which the power went out of my house, where I was watching it with you, and the power went out, and then it was coming back on, but I knew that I was kind of screwed at that point, so I was like, okay, well, I'll just wait to watch it. So somehow I watched it today, and yet kind of my mind slipped on what happened. But basically, that first seat comes and takes over the class, teaches them how to do stuff, and Soma goes along with him, which makes no sense because I thought Soma was against Central, but apparently he's like doing everything Central says. And then finally the first seat says, well, I want you to join me and join Central. So then Soma puts down one of those bets where, well, this time it's actually a bet that something could happen, because it's either that Soma's going to take the first seat off him, or Soma's going to be forced to join Central. But we know neither of those is going to happen. So the question is, which one? We actually don't know who's going to win then because of that fact, because we know neither of those outcomes could possibly happen. So, and basically, Erina and what is her name?
Hinako? Is that it?
Hisako.
Hisako.
Yeah. Hisako and Megumi are all hanging out and watching the whole thing. And before they get involved, the episode ends. So that's about where it cut off.
Okay. Now that I'm re-looking at a quick synopsis of the episode, which normally I have up, but I forgot to have it ready, which is really bad because whenever a new show starts, and you know, those are always the episodes that get more views than normal. And so this one will probably get more, and now I've just made things look really bad for anyone listening. Oh, well, this, or was it that, or,
Oh, I just found this out from Google. People also ask, does Erina like Hisako? And it gives an answer. An answer from a random person on Twitter. Erina Nakari is a lesbian and dating Hisako Arato. So there you have it. We have the official answer from Google that Erina Nakari is a lesbian and she's dating Hisako. So thank you, Google.
That was a random answer. The answers are always, so many times I'll like search for something and there will be a question, and then you click and look at it, and then the page it gives you doesn't actually give you the answer.
Mm-hmm.
That's been happening so many times when I've been trying to look up some medical thing for my job. I work with medical records, you know, to try to find out what something was. Okay, so here's an example. Let's see. While I'm trying, Well, dang, I searched for something I remember looking, searching for there, and then it offered a question, but it's not offering me the question here, so I don't know, maybe it's just going by the fact that at home I have a different search history than I do from work. So, yeah. Anyway, so yeah, so we had Food Wars, now that I've gotten it all up, figured out, yes, they were starting the food war here, they haven't actually started it yet, so all my yammerings there were very embarrassing, I apologize. Let's see. Yeah, not terribly too much else to say about the episode, although it did have one of the most blatant fan service scenes the series has ever had.
Which one? There was more than one.
the one where Erina and Hisako are like just changing out of their chef outfits into regular clothes, and it spends a lot of time with them in that changing room with, you know, camera shots of specific parts of bodies and things.
Yeah, and then you had that hentai scene with Megumi and Hisako too. So there was a lot of fan service in this episode.
I don't even remember the one with Megumin. Was that a part where they were eating some food and then of course had the over the top reaction thing?
Well, they didn't eat any food, but they were responding to how great the first seat's cooking was, and they kind of lost all control of bodily functions. So,
yeah, the fan service on this year show sometimes I'm not so fond of. When it's like, you know, the eating, like, goofy stuff that people, you know, call the foodgasms, those are okay, but sometimes it's just like, wow, this, you're really going for this hard. Did you know that the guy who drew the comic was formerly a hentai artist?
Oh. That's funny.
It's actually not that uncommon for someone to be that sort of artist and then just get a job at, you know, a more main stream like a manga thing. There's some other example, but I can't remember who it was. The guy who was the artist for Dr. Stone, the artist, not the writer. I don't think his previous stuff was outright hentai, but he had some like, but he did, one of his previous works was very adult, like rated. Uh-huh. Though he managed to mostly keep it down in Dr. Stone. The artist, not the writer. The writer was the guy who did Ice Shield 21, so I don't remember much fan service in that.
Yeah.
Okay. So, right. So, we have, as you said, Soma going up against Tsukasa, and they're going to have a food war where, yeah, you kind of have a point there. Neither one of those is particularly likely to happen. Okay, so we've got that. I'll briefly mention that Fire Force did air its final episode of the second season. It was okay, I guess. It needed more evil Kuniko. Anyway, moving on to Black Clover episode 149. And this was... So basically, Lola Pachika loses her glasses and they go to get it back. But then it turns out that she actually has a bunch of spare glasses. So their time was wasted, as was this episode.
What about Sekre and the prince and all that?
Okay, yeah, okay. Her flashback at the start actually had some kind of importance, but after that, it just kind of went into straight obvious filler plot. Mm-hmm. I honestly had forgotten that I had watched this episode. I was thinking, okay, I'm going to have to watch Black Clover because I did watch it on Saturday. And then I look at the episode description like, wait, that seems familiar. Oh, wait, I did watch that. Yeah, not really anything else to say about that. I'm just waiting for the filler arc stuff to get over with already.
Yeah.
Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. We've got 5 episodes left. It looks like the next one is actually, what's coming up is actually sort of a mini arc within it. So that might be better. Then again, when we had the mini arc about the devil worshiper stuff, that was actually kind of dull. So, although I will give this whole big filler arc credit, it did have one of the funniest lines, I think, in Black Clover, which is after the Charmy's food comes alive and attacks them, and they manage to defeat it. And Asta says, "You know, Charmy, there was something different about that food, your food, than normal. And I don't mean the part where it tried to kill us." That was actually really funny. All right, so we've covered our Toonami stuff. We'll have Dr. Stone next week, so we'll have more to talk about.
What's the lineup again for that?
Oh man, I discussed it last time and I can't even remember now. Let me look it up quick. If I remember correctly, it was Dragon Ball Super followed by My Hero Academia. Then I think it's Food Wars, then Dr. Stone, then No, I got that mixed up. Dragon Ball Super, My Hero Academia, Dr. Stone, although it just calls it Stone Wars Beginning, which I think is a subtitle for the season. Then we have Food Wars, The Promised Neverland, and then Black Clover.
Okay.
Oh, then Naruto Shippuden, and if you really want to stick around for it, a rerun of Attack on Titan. Okay. Yeah,
I'm really interested in what Dr. Stone is going to be like, because while I didn't really like much about the first season, but it did get better as it went along, which it at least didn't get worse as it went along. So that's usually an improvement. Most of the time, it's something that I watch and then it's okay at first, and then it slowly gets me to lose interest. This so got me a little more interested, although I don't know. I feel something political about the show, and I can't say what it is, but it just feels like there's something behind this show. I don't know what it is, though. So we'll see whenever we see the second season of this show.
Okay. I don't really recall too much that was particularly political. Although the manga did have, when everyone gets turned to stone, there's this part where I guess this is sort of political, where it cuts to the White House and you see the president, who's like obviously supposed to be a stand-in for Trump, and he's turned to stone. And I remember that especially. That wasn't in the anime episode. That part was cut out because the artist said he thought Hillary was going to win, so he drew the panel with her, and then he got annoyed about the election result because he had to redraw it. Because, yeah, that panel came... Dr. Stone debuted very soon after, like, in November, I think. The manga, I mean, debuted then. Mm. Or... No, it was later. No, I'm looking at that. It says it was March 6th of 2017. So, I don't know. Maybe I was wrong. I feel like it was November, but I guess it was later. Anyway, he said he had to redraw it at any rate.
Mm-hmm.
I guess they must have made like the pilot chapters much earlier, and then And you know, then they look at them, and then there's a gap between that and actually being published. So,
all right,
okay. All right. So we've got in. So then we'll move on to the stuff we've been watching that is not on Toonami. We've got Baka and Test episode 5.
Yeah. So basically, the school finds out that you can get these prizes if you find the coordinates to them, which you can find the coordinates to them by solving questions. And we're never really told what these questions are that they're solving, but it usually involves going into women's rooms or toilets or something like that. So basically just a whole bunch of tomfoolery. And that's pretty much sums it up. We didn't see very much from the girls in this episode, unless you consider Hideyoshi a girl. So, that's pretty much all that happened.
Well, there was I can't remember her name. The one, because Yoshi was doing this because he wanted to get the thing for, I can't, what's her name? The girl at the start who lost at like special, whatever it was called, like special Fez, like keychain thing or whatever, and that got destroyed. So he was like, I'm going to find it in this competition and give it to her. That girl.
Right.
Yeah. She was kind of important, but yeah, the other ones mostly weren't really there much. I mean, we got the whole Himeji can't cook, gag again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
With them. Yeah. Let's see. I'm looking at the Wikipedia synopsis of the episode, and it just mentions there are features from Gundam Seed and Gundam Seed Destiny shown in this episode, parentheses, when Kota Chuchiya is in Seed mode. And I'm like, okay, I didn't catch him. I watched most of Gundam Seed. I haven't seen Seed Destiny, though. Everyone says it's really bad.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, I guess you must add a reference there, then.
Yeah.
Oh, plot-wise, though, Yoshi does end up with something that lets him use the avatar anywhere, apparently.
Yeah.
Now, is that just like a gag for this episode, or does he actually use it in the future?
I don't remember. I never really paid much attention to any of the Avatar stuff. I just thought it was funny, a funny show. So, yeah.
Okay. So, we've got in our Baka and Test there. Then, lastly, we've got Kaguya-sama, Love is War, Episode 5. So, we've, instead of 4, we're down to 3 sketches this time. The first one presents actual continuity. Remember that earlier episode where the guy was asked, wanted to ask, Miyuki about how to, ask a girl out, and it actually ended up working? Well, this one, apparently, that girl is now asking Kaguya because she's saying, I think I might want to break up with my boyfriend. Mm-hmm. And through Zany, and of course, it's kind of the same gag as that previous one, because Kaguya doesn't actually know anything about a relationship. Although this one does have Chika burst in. And actually, I like the part where she said, oh, I wanted to have this detective outfit on, so I ran all the way over there to get it, and then ran back here.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, they managed to find some shared interests, so they managed to stay together, and yeah, so that's the first part. So I kind of went more into detail on that one just because continuity.
Mm-hmm.
Then the second one is the series decides to become a sports anime because Miyuki Shirogane is really bad at volleyball, so Chika instructs him, and then he actually gets okay at it. And the third one is just this bit where both Kaguya and Shirogane are it's one of those weird ones again where they're both trying to get the other to do something because they don't want to do it. Like trying to pretend they don't have an umbrella to make the other one have, let them share the umbrella for, romance stuff. Except then they both did it, so then it just turns into them arguing about whether the other actually has an umbrella.
Uh-huh.
And then Chika just gives them an umbrella, and that solves it.
Yeah. Yeah, not much really to say. I didn't really care for the first one. Second one, it was kind of entertaining, but it kind of felt not that important because it was just all about the one guy, and Kaguya wasn't really in it. And the last part was probably my favorite of the three.
I think my favorite was the second one, just because of that bit where it just suddenly frames the whole thing like some kind of dramatic movie, where Shirogane is like saying, just like a character in a battle series, he's going, "No, I'm not done yet. I'm going to keep going and training." That thing you've always see in, Naruto or whatever, where someone's exhausted from training but insists on continuing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's even like, just suddenly puts like in like letterboxing stuff to make it look like it's a movie. That bit was what made that for me, honestly.
Also, how did Kaguya lose the first one? Like, that one of my only problems with this show is that when it says so-and-so wins or so-and-so loses, I almost never agree with who won or lost, because it seems like the opposite to me. So I don't understand that. That's kind of weird, but yeah.
I couldn't even remember what it said for that. Usually I kind of actually tune those things out a bit, unless it like says something special. Some like kind of like joke, like the one where it says moral, the winner of today's battle, pause, Chica's weird. It doesn't like even give an answer. It just says Chica's weird.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, something I remember. Dang, I can't remember if I told you this last week, but I meant to. Did I tell you I found out why in the second at the beginning of the second episode? Remember how it just repeats all that stuff from the first episode? Mm-hmm. Did I tell you why I found out why that is?
No.
Turns out, so the manga was moved to a different magazine very early in its run. So since it was putting in a new magazine, the author must have been like, well, better reintroduce the premise on everything. So then it just repeated all that stuff from the first chapter. And then when they adapted that chapter into the anime, for some reason they felt they had to include all of that instead of cutting it out.
Mm-hmm.
So it was in something they came up with. That was actually in the applicable manga chapter. But you still have to think, you could have just... This isn't like being moved to a new magazine. You can skip past this.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's the explanation for that. Okay. All right, we can move on to the top threes if you want.
Yeah. So third place is Kaguya-sama. Second place is Bakuran Test. And first place is Food Wars.
For me, I think I would be putting in... Well, The top three is pretty easy, as it's been for way too long. We need more good shows on Toonami.
Yeah.
Maybe My Hero Academia can start to be a contender once it stops being in, once it gets into the actual plot. And, you know, Dr. Stone is coming back. But for this week, what I'll end up with putting in is, I'm just glancing over to make sure there's not something I'm overlooking. No, I guess I will then just put in Food Wars in third, Bakken Test in second, and Kaguya-sama in first.
Mm-hmm.
It just keeps being the same top three outside of that tie. It's been like that for weeks outside of that time where I think Attack on Titan managed to sneak into it.
My Hero Academia didn't really bring anything to the table this week, so
it gets back to the plot next week, although I can't remember too much about this part of the manga exactly, but I know it at least is going to get back to the plot. Like,
well, is it ever going to get to this thing about Midoriya becoming the world's greatest hero? Because that's what we were promised back in season one, that it was all about him becoming the world's greatest hero. And so far, there's no sign of that even remotely happening.
Well, he said it was the story of how he became the greatest hero. So for all we know, the series will just go up to his big final climactic battle and said, well, that's how he became the biggest hero. Goodbye. Yeah, that was kind of weird. I don't even remember that being in the first chapter of the manga, but I guess they wanted to try to make stuff be more exciting or whatever. I mean, look, it took us, what, 8 seasons to meet the mother in How I Met Your Mother? Hopefully My Hero Academia will manage a better ending than that show did. But yeah, we'll be getting some more stuff. We'll be getting into a continuation of the plot that was introduced at the end of the previous season. That was why we made that joke. Wow, we're starting up all this stuff for the new season. Oh, wait, it's the end of the season. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Some stuff to look forward to next week.
Yep.
All right. Was there anything else to mention?
No, not really.
Okay, well, you can find our previous episodes at tsunamitherapy.podbean.com. We usually record on Thursday and usually put these episodes up Friday or Saturday, although we've been a little late about that the last few weeks. But in any event, we'll be seeing you next week for more discussion of the stuff that airs on Toonami. We'll get the actual beginning of the season of My Hero Academia, the new season of Dr. Stone, and, well, I guess Black Clover will be there too. So, yes, we'll see you then.
Bye-nee.